The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Chime, don't let me forget the necessary audio eulogy this morning based on some sad news, please.
Absolutely not. Okay. I will not allow you to forget.
Maybe sooner than later.
Sure.
Craig Breslow will join us at 9, and a lot to talk to Craig Breslow about. The Red Sox on a bit of a heater here. That's 5 in a row. And what do we got, a 1:30 first pitch today?
No, so 1:10 pregame start, 2:10 first pitch, Greg.
Okay, all right. But in the meantime, here is Mego with today's news.
Let's get started in the city of Boston. Mayor Michelle Wu is suing a slew of social media companies on behalf of Boston Public Schools, including Meta, TikTok, Snapchat, and YouTube. Wu alleges these platforms deliberately target minors with addictive features that harm children's mental health. The city's lawsuit hopes to force these companies to remove the addictive features from their apps for children and compensate Boston Public Schools for mental health support students need. The suit will join more than 1,500 school districts nationwide, and it's in federal court.
Well, the argument here is that the social media platforms are similar to the tobacco industry, and that they are creating an addiction, and it is harmful, and that kids are doom scrolling all day long, all night long, and unable to function. I don't know. Is that the fault of these social media platforms, or is that the fault of the parents? Like,
I know where I stand. I don't think you blame
the parents.
Because I don't relate it to an addiction for like tobacco, because there's an age limit on tobacco. You couldn't buy it at a you had to be a certain age. I look at it more of like when I was growing up, they tried to say it was the music or the movies that influenced us, right? And that was what the biggest, it was more music than anything.
Yes, was Tipper Gore.
Yeah, you can't listen to
the wife of Al Gore.
Yeah, especially rap music. You can't, like, that was the biggest thing. Where, no, it's how you're brought up, the people that are in your life raising you. And don't give me, like, if you don't have nobody in your life, then it's going to be, you got to have mentors or something like that.
I don't know, man. I think that these companies know what they're doing with these apps. I can't tear myself off the stupid Instagram reels. I don't even download TikTok because I'm afraid of how much time I would spend on that app. Not creating stuff, just watching dumb videos. I lose 40 minutes at a time. I look out the window and the sun has changed position in the sky and I don't even know what I was just looking at.
Right. Yeah,
so I can't imagine a kid whose brain is still forming. Like, it's hard. It's hard out there for this.
Isn't that on you?
Like, yes. I can't control myself. Okay. Yeah. So then you're putting it, okay, parents need to give their kids these dumb phones, is what they're calling them now, or be very aware at all times about what their kids are watching.
Guess what?
That's your job
as a parent.
I know, but these companies know that this is not good for any of us, and it's especially bad for kids.
But listen, it's your job as a parent too. If you got to give your kid the bat
phone,
I agree.
I'm sympathetic to the struggle of it.
Yeah. I get it.
Well, there are a lot of people. Curtis is somebody who believes that. You know, dopamine is the dopamine boost that your body gets physically, mentally, is driven by social media, by likes, by and so that it's a physical reaction. It's not a mental thing.
Right.
Ooh.
But I would say that this is where like people pick and choose that what they feel like, oh, that bothers me. So why don't you, Mayor Wu, feel the same way about all the fast food restaurants out there, all the garbage food kids
eat? I'm sure she does.
But
she's trying to get the healthy menus and all the BTS.
Why are you
too?
Not suing McDonald's and all these other companies that are selling? Where's the lawsuit against all these fast food joints and pizza places and burger?
You act like that's never been brought up in the past.
No.
If you come after the pizza places,
after Pizza Day every Friday.
She and I are going to have an issue.
It's been brought up, Mego.
Yeah.
But have we ever seen a lawsuit of this magnitude from the public schools or the mayors?
See, Wiggy, I think that's kind of like whataboutism. You know?
I don't know what
like
that this, means, whataboutism.
It means like anything that you say, well, I have a problem with this, you can turn and go, what about this?
Right.
Don't you have a problem with this? What about this? Don't you have a problem with this? Yeah, but we're talking about something that we know is not good for these kids. And you call it
whataboutism?
Yeah.
What about the selectivism?
What do you mean?
You picking and choosing
we're not going to tackle any problem because there's a whole bunch of problems.
Well, there are some problems that have to be tackled from inside the home first.
Okay.
It's like the government.
I don't disagree with
that. Well, that's the point. So you shouldn't be suing. You should be advocating to your students, parents in school. Here's what you need to do.
But what the schools are saying, I'll just tell you, their point from the lawsuit is they are the ones who then have to provide counseling to the kids because they said they had this survey for Boston Public School students that compared to 2015, reports of kids saying, I don't feel good, like I'm sad most of the time, are up from 27% of kids to 44% of the kids. Make of that what you will, but a lot of the kids in the school then are leaning on public school teachers,
right,
on guidance counselors, and turning and saying, like, this is where I need to go to get my support now. And the schools are saying, we are not equipped for this.
And that's the thing. You need those mentors. I grew up in a single parent household, went to a Boston public school. My mother had to work a couple of jobs, so she couldn't watch everything that I did. But I had guys like Mike Rubin, who was my basketball coach, and helped a lot of us out that came from single parent households on what we needed to do, what was right, what was wrong. So when I was 13, 14, I made a bunch of mistakes like everybody.
But people are going to say there wasn't the same risk, like there wasn't the social media thing.
We didn't need social media. There was plenty of risk as soon as you stepped out. If you grew up in Boston in the late 80s, early 90s, there was plenty of stuff going on as soon as you walked outside. Yeah. You
know, same with Stowe, to be honest with you.
I mean, you probably had your fair share of things that were a little twisted. We walked outside.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when the traffic lights or the street lights went out, we were going wild on our bikes.
I believe it.
What's next, Mego?
So around 4,000 nurses at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston went on strike yesterday. It's looking like the biggest nursing strike in the city's history.
Huh.
Governor Moore Healey has called both sides to the State House in hopes of ending the strike. The nurses union confirmed they're going, but no word as of yet from hospital management. We can hear from both sides on WCVB.
The governor heard us, and we reiterated to Mass General that we are ready, willing, and able to bargain at any point in time, and we are waiting to hear back from them.
In its latest statement, the hospital says Brigham, quote, remains open and fully operational with patient care continuing uninterrupted.
One of those jobs I could never do. So they should be paid more. I'm just guessing they should be paid more money, like what they deal with, and people who are suffering and having their worst moments and the comfort that they give them, they should pay the nurses more.
Nurses, teachers, law enforcement.
I stand with the nurses.
Oh, for sure.
They're
the ones that got to help you in time of need.
Yes. I stand with the nurses in this.
Especially when you then get all these stories about, like, oh, doctors can only spend an average of 4.5 minutes with every patient, and they're outsourcing things in these hospitals to AI.
Right.
The nurses are the real people who are by your bedside.
You ever go to the ER? The doctors are making a ton of money sitting in the back room, snacking on chips, and the nurses are the ones dealing with all the frustration of people like, hey, I've been here for 2 hours, and when's the doctor going to see me?
Sometimes you get billed for a doctor in that you didn't even see. Well, it's like, well, this was the doctor that was overseeing the entire round. Right. You're like, why am I paying this person?
Doesn't happen with Dr. Diana, I'll tell you that much. This is Carlos from Florida. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, hello, guys. Good morning to everyone. I just wanted to say, Wiggy, I'm with you. I know that social media is bad for kids, but maybe we have a major problem when it comes to fast food restaurants. Those places, I mean, I don't eat fast food anymore. I'm a 55-year-old man. But that is a problem for young kids. Fast food kills people, and it gets us sick. That's why in this country we have diabetes, we have cancer, and all this stuff, and it mainly comes from fast food restaurants. So, yes, Wiggy, I'm with you.
Okay, thank you. I
He doesn't realize that fast food companies are across the globe, right?
Also, you got Ozempic now.
Yeah.
And I was
fast
just
food's delicious.
I was just using that as
what his issue is.
And you got no more excuses.
Don't let him come at your Chick-fil-A.
Greg, if that guy comes for my Chick-fil-A, they're coming for your pizza,
it's a major problem. All right. Can we take a quick break? But we'll be back with the rest of the news in 2 minutes on The Greg.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill Show. Well done, Chime. Audio eulogy underway for Bonnie Tyler. Passed away yesterday, 75 years old, and hit after hit after hit.
Yeah,
I mean, obscure reference, Wiggy, maybe Mego, maybe Shine, would be Old School and the Dan Band version of Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Not obscure at all.
Not obscure, reference. Okay, we should play a little bit of that, Shine, because that's the big hit. Unbelievable voice. I believe she was Welsh. Born.
Yeah, that's what I just looked up. Welch.
Am I correct
about
that?
You are correct about that.
There was another one you wanted to play this morning, Shime. Well, you told me.
Yeah, this is the one that I knew right away outside of Total Eclipse of the Heart, obviously. This was I believe it was from the Footloose soundtrack.
Yes. Is that? What's that song called?
Holding Out for a Hero?
Holding Out for a Hero, yes. Yes, let it rip. Hold on. Rocco in the Twitch chat is calling Footloose one of the top five worst films of all time.
No way. That's the movie where the lady takes the bra off under her shirt, right?
Yes.
That was instrumental.
Yes. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Rocco.
Rocco needs to reevaluate.
Yeah.
Bring in the dancing.
No. I was thinking of the other one.
I was thinking of
the one where she's a welder.
Oh, you're thinking of Flashdance.
Flashdance. That's what I was
thinking. Footloose is Kevin Bacon.
Okay. Yeah. I mixed up my 80s movies.
Yes, yes. Flashdance was a good one.
Footloose is like the devil's music.
Yes. You know, that's, rural town. I forget where he was, but like Nebraska or something.
They're not
like
allowed to dance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was dancing in front of cars, on top of cars. Mm-hmm. Flashdance, another good one, too.
I mixed those up.
Speaking of movies, are we getting to the news about the difference between Gen Z and other generations when it comes to films?
We are.
And the length thereof? Well, we should do that now because there's new research which says that Gen Z has had it with any film that is over 2 hours long. And I can't hear you, Shime. Your mic's not on.
I'm clapping in the background here.
I'm on board, I think.
Well, yeah, like, what's the next Christopher Nolan movie, The Odyssey?
The Odyssey.
It's going to be almost 3 hours long?
It's 3 hours long.
Too long.
It's a legit 3 hours long. So, what was the exact moments that they liked, the length?
Yeah, so a new survey reveals that today's movie audiences overall, but particularly Gen Z, prefer shorter movies.
Mm-hmm.
The new poll says that the average movie that Gen Z wants is a max of 82 minutes.
Hmm.
So for reference, the upcoming Odyssey movie will be 172 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other big releases from this year, Toy Story 5 has a runtime of 102 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and Project Hail Mary had a runtime of 156 minutes.
Is that one of the reasons you think that horror movies are back in theaters and popular again? Because they're generally shorter, quicker, to the point, more in that 90 to 120 minute range?
Huh. I never thought about it that way, but maybe.
I say, I don't want that. I need, when I'm watching my movies, the perfect wheelhouse for me time-wise is between 2 hours and 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Because I need the story to be, especially if it's a comic book movie.
That's long, Wiki.
No.
Two and a half hours is
long. You just
don't
have the attention span of
a
genius.
I certainly do not.
There are, like, Odyssey, all right, that might be too long, but if there's a lot of action, you can entertain me. 2 to 2.5 hours is perfect because I feel like, you know, you could tell a story. There's a lot of things in there. I feel like an hour and what are they saying? 80 minutes? What's that? An hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah. Right.
You can't get enough of the story in there.
It's very quick. I would like just under 2 hours. I think just under 2 hours is the right length.
Because you know what I find myself doing, Greg, is what the shorter movies. I end up leaving them and I go, they didn't explain this to me. They didn't explain that to me. Why did that happen?
Sometimes they go on for too long, though.
I get that.
And what did I rewatch the other day?
Was it Tarantino? Because his movies go on forever.
No. Oh, they do go long.
It was Gone Girl.
Oh, I love Gone Girl.
It's a good movie, but it goes on way too long, and the ending stinks.
Mm. Really? Like,
yes.
I like the ending.
No, it just kind of fizzles out, and the fact, like, I don't want to spoil it, but
it's been out for like 10 years. Yeah,
just the fact that they stay together and it just kind of ends is. It was disappointing.
I would say
I would say
drama could be a little bit less than 2 hours, because movies like that that are considered drama, all right, you could tell the story. There's not a lot of time where you need action, but I feel like action and thrillers and those type of things, you need more time because you need to keep people around with all the cool action.
But Wiggy, we were just talking the other day about my very unpopular opinion that Heat has way too much dead weight in that movie.
Right.
Everybody acts like it's the most perfect action / thriller suspense movie ever. And I'm like, there are long stretches where nothing happens in that movie.
Right.
Isn't that the example of if you have an action thriller movie, it can't be that long?
No, you gotta fill that time up with more action. That's what you have to do.
I will say you're right about the attention span. Like, did you see Matt Damon? It was either Matt Damon or Ben Affleck. I think it was.
Yeah,
Matt
I think
Damon.
It was. I know who you're talking about.
I think it was on Rogan talking about how what they have to do with movies now is keep going back and reintroducing the actual plot of the film,
right?
Because back to social media, nobody's paying attention. They're all watching, you know, TikTok or Instagram or whatever during the movie. So they have to keep reintroducing the plot over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
Because nobody can sit down and just watch something.
Right. You're right about that. It is the attention span. And I think what even that I kind of find myself with the younger generation is, and Shyam and I think are on the same page as this, is when I go to the movie, it is your job as the director to tell the story, tell me the ending, and let me walk out of there and go, oh, I got everything, rather than have me go in there and go, I have to use my imagination to what happened here and how this ended, and you leave me on a cliffhanger going, oh, you fill in the blanks.
So you don't like an open-ended ending.
I do. You know who I think his movies always suck me in, but I think he's one of the worst directors ever is M. Night Shyamalan. He does that all the time.
And he's got some good movies, though.
He's got like
Signs. Signs is a great movie.
Yeah, name his other good movie.
The Sixth Sense.
Oh, those are two good movies. Greg's right. The Village, horrible. Yes, yes. So The Village.
That was a bad movie. It was weird.
The one with the wind and Mark Wahlberg. That was silly.
The Happening? Is that what it was?
Yeah, The Happening.
Correct. The Happening.
The Visiting with the
Unbreakable was good.
The two old ladies. Not the two old, the old couple.
I didn't see that.
Unbreakable was good, but then what was the one after that?
Split or Glass?
Both of them. Horrible. Like, he'll do that at the end of it, and you're like, Trapped wasn't bad. That was the one, and that was another movie I liked.
Oh, I watched that one.
I'm okay with going back to shorter films if they reduce the price on the ticket.
No, that ain't happening.
Do you think they'll do that?
No.
Either shorter films equals lower price, or every 10 minutes over 2 hours. Shorter price.
Very mean 781 text on the Subaru of New England text line, which reads, "Greg, this is the reason why Greg enjoyed Charlie Chaplin films, because they were so short." But I did not. I was not. I was around for the talkies. Yeah.
But I feel like the old school movies, Greg.
The old school ones?
Gone with the Wind. I feel like that was forever.
That's not my era.
Oh. That came out
you're
in the 30s.
Grandpa. Yeah, that's like for this movie.
Rest of the news coming up next. The Red Sox, the winners of 5 in a row, 10 of their last 12. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We will talk about that with Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, coming up in about a half an hour at 9. And then 9:30, Hill Notes. So leave us a voice note on whatever is on your mind today. And we will play the best ones back at 9:30. Sean, can we open the window world of Boston weather window, please, before we get back to the rest of the news with Mego? Because it is beautiful again today.
Yeah, Greg, it's currently 76 degrees here in the city of Boston. The high today, 90 degrees. It is sunny and beautiful out. It is going to be A gorgeous day today. A little bit of rain tomorrow. Not a whole lot. The kind of a scattered shower, if you will, but a bit cloudy. High of 84 tomorrow. The weekend, though, looks great. High of 80 both days.
Well, I'm going to have to keep pointing things out to people because of the new studio and the new setup on Twitch.
Uh-huh.
We are in the same studio. Like, people keep texting in going, are you guys in different rooms? Right. And no, we're not.
It's we just need, like, an element, though, that shows that we're in the in the same studio. Yes.
Couple pictures.
Yes. You mean, like, a normal Twitch view that shows the entire group of us? Yes.
Or why is every wall in this room a statement wall? Every wall is a different color.
Well, that's part of the problem is that all the walls look different, so therefore it looks like we're all in different places.
Right.
Griff?
I don't think Griff was responding. It's that's a corporate thing.
Oh, okay.
I would have done it differently, but I'm not in charge of that.
Right. So. There should be a, what do they call it in the television world?
A set?
No. The shot when it's everybody. Full shot is what do they call that? There's the single shot, and then there's the, like, when all.
A wide shot?
Is it that what we need? All of us in this, like Greg said, all in the same shot. What do they call that? And you're the TV person.
We just call that a wide shot or like a three shot.
All right.
So if you have, because usually you have three people at a desk on TV, so it'd be like the three shot.
All right,
table
so the
shot.
Three shot. We need a three shot every now and then that shows. All right.
I don't know. Sometimes they use language on TV, and I'm like, I don't even know what they're telling me. So.
All right. Well, let's finish up with the news, please.
Ferry service to Martha's Vineyard was delayed yesterday after an elderly woman crashed her minivan while boarding one of the boats. Mm. According to the state police, a 91-year-old woman was flown to the hospital after she crashed her minivan at a high speed. The ferry is being assessed for damage in Woods Hole.
I think, does Mitch have a photo of this? I believe it was the car ferry.
Yes, so it was one of the...
So she was trying to drive off?
She was trying to drive the ferry either on or off, and it just zoom, hit that pedal a little hard. It was really...
The poor thing.
So
you're 91 years old. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, people... See, there you go.
Just hope she's okay.
Yeah,
so they had to take that. They had to take that boat out of service yesterday. Take it down to Woods Hole to figure out the damage, and they replaced it with another boat. But there was big delays for people trying to get over to the island.
Once you hit 65, I feel like every 2 years you should have to take a driving test.
65 is young, bud.
But every 2 years you should have to take a driving test because there is like once you get to that age, I feel like all right, that's when. The awareness starts to really, you know, in some people fades. I don't want, because there are some people who might be 65 and that are young and they're active, but then there are some people who are 65 and they're like, you know, like my mother, giant bifocals on. And
I'm 59, I'm sharp as a tack.
Well, you still got a few more years. You got 6 more years. Yeah. But at once you
sharp as a tic tac.
6 years of being sharp.
Well, I'm saying for my rule. And once you hit 65, once Greg hit 65, he'd have to take a driving test every 2 years.
Well, it would alleviate a pretty awkward conversation that happens in a lot of families where it's, we got to take the keys away at night and where does this go? And there's a lot of fighting over that.
It's really not awkward. When my mother was alive, you ain't driving. I'll come get you.
Yeah. Well, all right. What else?
New irrational fear. This is an awful story. A flight instructor, as in planes. A flight instructor in Argentina jumped out of a plane to his death in the middle of a flying lesson after telling his student, quote, you know what you have to do, leaving them to land the plane themselves.
So the individual committed suicide.
Yes.
On purpose.
Yes.
Just jumped out of the plane
in the middle of a flying lesson.
Oh, wow. That's terrifying.
Left the student by themselves. So Leandro Andres Bertazzo was the instructor and left 22-year-old student identified as just Rosario, who alerted officials at the flying school on the ground. They were able to guide the student through an emergency landing. Bertazzo had taught another student earlier in the day and had shown no signs that he planned to throw himself from the plane.
Huh.
So no indications, no note left to anybody. Oh. Had taught someone earlier in the day. Luckily, the student was able to contact ground control at the school, and they were able to walk them through the steps of landing the plane safely. But that's
like
just
something out of a movie.
Awful,
terrifying.
Awful thing to be in, but I'm assuming that she didn't have to pay for the lesson afterwards.
I would hope not.
Probably a good
thing. The fact that she landed the plane, pretty impressive.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, you've seen the movie, and it's like, oh, the pilot died, or somebody, the pilot's knocked out, and they're like, you got to land the plane.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Ex-Michigan football coach Sherrone Moore's former executive assistant and mistress is suing the school, saying they violated the Freedom of Information Act by denying her requests following Moore's firing last December. Moore was accused of confronting Paige Shriver, his former assistant, and blaming her for his dismissal after she ended the affair and told Michigan officials about it. Moore pleaded no contest to trespassing and malicious use of telecom device and was placed on probation in April for 18 months. So she's now suing the school, saying that she made requests after his firing to get more information about what they knew, what was going on, all this whole mess that has developed, and they just denied those.
All right. Okay. Somebody wants a bag. She knew he was married, though, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes.
Somebody wants a bag.
Yeah. Somebody is. Oh, looking. That's one that you file so they settle.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When it's probably Michigan.
Like, damn, look at all this money these NIL kids are getting. Yeah, I want to sue. They knew about it. Nobody told me. I was in a bad situation. Trying to get a bag for that.
Did you see how much money NIL-wise they are estimating that Tiger's son will make college golf-wise?
No,
how old is Tiger's son?
$3 million a year.
Wow.
I think next year he will be.
Like 15 or 16, right?
He'll be a college freshman, I think, next year.
Wow.
That is nice payday.
$3 million a year. And second on the list is the president's granddaughter.
Oh.
Kai Trump. Who is a good golfer, and they believe she will make $2.5 million a year NIL wise.
I believe that. Huh. I definitely believe Tiger's son. You know, with that name, look at Arch Manning.
Yeah.
And is Tiger's son good, though? How is he? Because I heard Trump's granddaughter's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been okay.
All right.
He's done okay.
All right.
Brian.
There was some parasite news when it comes to the diarrhea parasite, which is a big irrational fear right now.
Taco Bell wants to be very transparent with this. They are pulling ingredients from many locations to prevent the spread of cyclosporiasis, the foodborne parasite that causes explosive diarrhea has sickened some 2,000 people across the U.S. So lettuce, pico de gallo, guacamole and cilantro onion have been yanked from many menus to prevent illness outbreaks. Some items at Taco Bell that include at least one of these ingredients are tacos, the Crunchwrap Supreme, and certain Cantina chicken menu items. Taco Bell has not said whether any of their customers have gotten sick from their ingredients in particular, but this looks like a preventative measure.
Violent diarrhea.
This is the thing that we talked about a week or so ago.
Before Taylor Swift's wedding.
Right. It's becoming an epidemic, and people are suffering from it all over. Like, it's arrived here, I guess, in Massachusetts, the parasite.
I love Taco Bell, too.
Sorry, I understand. Are you supposed to stay away from the, so just vegetables in general? Is that what it is?
Well, this explosive diarrhea is not going to get me then, because I don't eat very many vegetables.
Are you having diarrhea?
And I love pico. I mean, pico, I feel like pico and with the onion one. What was the onion one called? The cilantro?
Cilantro onion.
Yes.
Guacamole, yeah. I think is going to be a big one.
I'm not
people.
A guacamole guy, but I am a pico and the cilantro onion. So, I mean, if it's good, guess what? I'll take the explosive
How
diarrhea.
Long does it last?
That's what
I want to know with the parasite.
Oh, I don't know. Probably not long. Maybe 24, 48 hours.
Long enough to lose some weight, probably.
Exactly.
Good weight loss plan. Yeah.
I mean, and nobody, as long as the food goes down good, there's no real complaints there. You enjoy.
What do you mean? There's no complaints.
Well, there's a problem.
No, because when you eat,
people are getting pretty sick from it. Like I don't want to joke about it.
Well, you lose.
The parasite is causing people to get really sick.
Well, didn't people used to like say, "Ooh, I need to lose weight, so I need to get some parasites."
What's it called? Cycloblastiasis. The parasite.
I'm trying. Cyclosporiasis.
Sporiasis.
Cyclosporiasis.
Yes. All right. That is the news. Craig Breslow joining us at 9 on the Greg Hill Show at WEE.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade?
Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hi.
Roman Anthony's going to Florida in the dead of the summer. He's getting checked out by another hand specialist on his way down there, and then he's going to rehab in Fort Myers away from the team. And, you know, there's a lot of people that you talk to, heard in the last 2 days, this is a punishment. This is about getting him out of Boston to solely focus on the rehab. I thought Chad Tracy's quotes kind of day-to-day change, and I thought they were a little interesting. They want to keep him out of the madness. My guess is that there is a little bit of a wake-up call undercurrent to this. I don't know exactly why, but there's just, it's just a weird step to take, especially with position player. You know, he's been working out at Fenway, playing balls off the wall every day. You know, Marcelo Meyer, obviously his best friend, is hurt and kind of going through the rehab and stuff. I don't believe in the conspiracy theories usually, and you just touched on that, but I just feel like this is kind of an intentional move being made that we might never get to the bottom of, and it's just an interesting, weird thing that's happening.
Yeah, Sean, get this crap off the radio. What is that?
But
what
he's going down to Florida.
What is wrong
he's probably
with
listening
you?
To Florida Georgia Line, cruising down.
You've lost complete control of yourself.
What do you mean?
There's no, the song doesn't mention Florida.
It's by the band Florida Georgia Line.
But that's
Play
such
Tom
a
Petty.
Stretch. Like,
he's from Florida?
From Jacksonville. Yeah, but his band isn't called Tom Petty and the Floridians.
Yeah, but nobody's sitting there going, oh, you're talking about, we're hearing about Roman Anthony in Florida and you're playing Florida Georgia Line. And then I didn't realize Drake May was finally taking the field on Sunday. What was that that you played?
I don't know. That's a promo on the shotgun sheet, Greg.
What do you mean on the shotgun sheet?
But I have a shotgun sheet that I type it in. I put it in. I don't make the promos.
Oh, my Lord. Hmm. Falling apart over here.
Yeah. You also didn't have to mention it. I dumped it out, but, you know.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah.
You dumped it out?
Oh. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was Chris Cotillo, Mass Live. We will talk to Craig Breslow in a little bit on Roman Anthony and on other things. The suggestion, which we talked about earlier, that Roman Anthony is getting his hand slapped. Getting punished in some way, shape, or form for living his life and going out and about, being out past 11, which, you know, my mom warned me about because nothing good ever happens then. So,
especially when you're hurt or you're not playing well.
617 texter says Roman Anthony is in his Tyler Sagan era. Listen, it's happened before here. I'm old enough to remember when Clay Buchholz was on the IL with a stomach thing and kindly showed up at my charity golf tournament at Foxwoods to help us raise some money for the kids.
Right.
And I think it was Zolak. Made a big deal about it on the radio. So it's happened here before where you are not allowed to go out if you're not playing well, I guess.
No, but that's the way, you know, that's the way fans view it. And I believe also, you know, from just being in those locker rooms and understanding and like that's the way that the organization and the coach views it. Like they want you, especially when you're injured or you're not performing well, they want you to kind of like be away from all of that, right? Just be inside, no one sees. So people can't be like, oh, their person's not focused. And especially in today's game, 2026, I would tell Roman Anthony, I'd say, listen, fam, there is just way too many cell phones and people out there. So you might just be having dinner and it's a harmless thing, but people are not going to interpret it that way. They're going to be like, oh, this guy's partying. He's running the streets. He makes millions of dollars. He's 21 years old. You can't do that, especially when the world is on your shoulders.
Okay, but the fact that he has a rather unique, somewhat rare ring finger injury has nothing to do with where he is or isn't eating. That's why it's ridiculous to me.
So I would ask the question then, why are they sending him to Florida?
It's too crowded in the clubhouse is what they're saying. If I'm Roman Anthony, I'm going, remember when you guys told everyone that I didn't tear anything in my finger? Like, this has not been a great summer for the two sides here. Okay? Like, they're sending him down to Florida now, and it sounds like it's a, quote, wake-up call.
Right.
According to people who are around the team and around the front office all the time. After that whole mess earlier with it, when we thought that he was going to be more day-to-day, and now we're almost at the All-Star break. Like, this is now beyond, to me, like a lost season for Roman Anthony. Yeah. This is straight up dysfunctional.
But don't you think the organization is running the risk of upsetting the guy that is there, as you're pointing out, is the, you know, many have said is the future face of the franchise or whatever. You can't, you throw him out there in front of everybody with the injury debate, and now you're, you know, Chad Tracy is telling everybody you're getting him out of the madness and you're sending him down to Florida because he likes to go out.
I don't think you're upsetting the guy, because I don't think he's done enough for him to be, to get caught in his feels. Like you haven't proven anything. What has he proven at the Major League Baseball level? He's used to be upset at certain situations.
Well, he was upset enough about the miscommunication his injury that he went on with Rob Bradford on Baseball Isn't Boring to say exactly what he was dealing with.
That's different, though. That I understand. Like, you could be upset about that. But you made a great point earlier in the show, Mego, when you said teams want their guys that are on, that are injured, rehabbing with the team so they can have their hands on him. They could see him at the ballpark every single day and be able to see where he is. They don't just send guys away for, especially when a guy doesn't have a season-ending injury or isn't coming off a season-ending injury.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. Craig Breslow, Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, will join us next in exactly 2 minutes.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.